Welcome inside of this week's edition of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being a part of our program as we do our absolute best to bring you content that matters. It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African. A lot happening this past week. We're going to talk about it. We've been trying to tackle the drug issue, and we're not going to put that on the back burner. We're not going to dive into it as much this week because there are things happening out there, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, that are just absolutely devastating. As a pastor, it forces me to rethink and to think again and to rethink and think again about security in churches. As you know, that in South Carolina this past week, a very troubled soul, to say the least, went into a church prayer service, took part for about an hour, and then murdered 9 people. Many of us wonder, what kind of world are we living in? I think that's a great question. What kind of world are we living in? What has happened to us? The program today is probably going to be a little bit different in that I'm going to do everything I can to just speak from my heart. And when I say that I always speak from my heart, I would just say that I don't have so much of a plan today. Typically, I come in with a plan of exactly everything I'm going to say. And although we go down different avenues and go different directions, and I'm passionate about it, it doesn't change that I am going to speak straight from the heart today. I do have a couple news articles I'll pass along to you. But again, welcome inside the program. If at any point in time you'd like to contact us by email, you can do so whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Follow us online, blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow, for all of our archive messages and all of our live programs. Find us on Facebook, What's Important Now Radio Program, Win Radio Program, or follow me on Twitter at @TSearsWinRadio. Our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Let's get to it. As I was saying, we're living in a time where it is just absolutely unimaginable. Actually, it's not unimaginable anymore, and I guess that may be what's so troubling to me, is that we live in a time where the things that we hold sacred, the things that we hold close to our heart, the things that we do and have done in America for years are no longer safe places. We've seen school shootings, many of them. We've heard of violence in our churches before. And the amazing thing is that when we go to church now, we don't even know if we're going to be safe. This people going there to pray, this people going there to seek counsel of God, this people going there to maybe pray for race relations in our country and the things that are dividing us, and this people ended up dead. Now, to me, that is just very troubling. Because, again, these things are not supposed to be. Now, there's always been random acts of violence throughout our nation's history. There's always been rogue individuals that go out and do extremely terrible things. I think what is so troubling for us in the year 2015 is that we're seeing more and more of these things. They are becoming more and more a part of the daily news cycle. And so America clearly has a problem. America has a lot of problems. America needs help. Now, And a lot of people, and I know that those people out there, they exist that disagree with whatever everything I'm about to say. I don't think they disagree that there's something wrong. I don't think they disagree that we need some serious help. And I just think we disagree on how that help is going to come. I think that on their side, potentially they think that if we establish another law, for instance, let's talk gun control. If somehow we establish a law to take all the guns away from people, that violence is going to end. But evil people can find ways to commit acts of violence without using a gun. I would argue, from my point of view, is that sane Americans, Americans who don't have evil intentions, having a gun helps bring balance to a society. I believe in the countries, and I've been reading about this and studying this, in the countries where gun control has been a big part of their laws, where guns have been taken away from the citizens, what we have found is that although gun violence does decrease because no one has guns, violence and crime has increased because you have a defenseless people in their home waiting for 10 or 15 minutes before someone can get there to help them. But that's another whole matter. I believe that I disagree on what the fix is with some people. You see, I'm going to go into this spiel about how America needs to go back to church, and I'm going to go into this spiel about how America needs Jesus. Yes, I am, absolutely. And I know that some of you listening, you think, well, that's what this guy is another religious fanatic. I would consider myself a voice of reason because, see, we don't disagree on everything. I can agree with you that in many ways the church has done, has presented itself in a not so positive light. But what I would argue is that although the church has not presented itself in a positive light at times, that should not be a reflection of Jesus Christ. For those who take the Word of God and study it and read it, you know that some people's actions don't line up with that word, no matter what the label above their door is. See, I believe in going back to what Jesus taught, to love God and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I believe that all of us at one point in time in our lives, we haven't been able to effectively do that. We have struggled in this area. But I'm calling out for every person that will hear this broadcast, whether it be on a Sunday morning in the state of West Virginia or whether it be all across the world on Blog Talk Radio, I am calling out to you and I'm asking you, please, please, let's bring some reason to this. Let's bring some common sense to this. Statistics, they do not lie. If you study statistically, since America has began this effort to push God out of society, and when I say God, I'm speaking of Jesus Christ, because I'm not talking about some generic term. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who I will argue until my final breath is the reason this nation exists. And according to our founding fathers, they believed that he was vital to this country, to our laws. Statistically, if you look and you study, you begin to find that since we've started this removal, things have changed. I found an article in Charisma Magazine, and it was dated January 8th, 2013, titled, "Why Isn't the American Church Experiencing Revival?" While the church is growing at a record rate in Africa and Asia, churches are stagnating in the United States. We look at why America isn't experiencing revival. Revival is not when the top blows off, but rather when the bottom falls out. Those words were spoken to me several years ago when I asked the late Leonard Ravenhill to define revival. According to him, most religious activity in the United States does not resemble true revival. We know only a cheap imitation. We schedule popular speakers and the best musicians and set aside a week for special meetings. We call that revival. Our meetings are set up by organizers, not agonizers. We have reduced the move of God to a method. Yet the Bible says God is looking for a man. John Knox, the founder of the Presbyterian Church, prayed continually, "God give me Scotland or I die." He said this while he was chained deep inside the hull of a French ship off the coast of his country. He prayed desperately for 7 years that God would send revival to his beloved Scotland. God works only within those who are desperate. Ravenhill also used to say, in reference to revival, that we would either end up with prison camps or with Pentecost in the prison camps. The Apostle Paul either had riots or revival, and at times both, yet the American gospel does not seem to produce either. A Chinese Christian recently visited the United States and toured churches here. At the end of the trip, he asked what he thought about American spirituality, and he answered, "I am amazed at how much the church in America can accomplish without the Holy Spirit. We have large buildings, many programs, but still no move of God. We have more trained ministers and more Bible colleges than any other nation, but we have no revival. We have seminars on revivals and huge campaigns to promote our meetings, but where is revival? We have spotless theology. We have no song in our hearts. We have replaced true experience with hyperactivity. Our theologians sit in swivel chairs and ivory towers and hand out edicts to those below. As a church, we are power hungry and covet top positions as if we are climbing a corporate ladder. We place value on larger churches and even larger programs and budgets. Those who are invited into leadership positions are the rich and the influential. We forget the spiritual authority is not given to the savvy businessman or the sports hero, but to those who have carried the burden of the Lord. Where are the brokenhearted believers who weep through the night over spiritual bankruptcy? A true move of God makes you utterly dependent upon Him. The touch of the Father was never designed to touch you just once. It was designed to leave you feeling helpless unless you receive the daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. A true revival brings us to the end of ourselves. It takes us to the foot of the cross, where we lay down our hopes, dreams, and ambitions. History is with those who have given their all to see a move of God. In many ways, the church in America, this institution created by man's hands, and I say that because I do not believe we are a reflection, and I'm talking as a whole, and I know that this is offensive for a lot of people, and I am not pretending to have the moral authority on this. I'm as big as part of the problem as anyone. But I'm calling today, I'm sending out this plea that if we are called to be the church, can we please be the church? Because things are happening all over the world. They're happening right here in our country. And we don't need another preacher with a golden microphone in a golden chair holding a golden telephone making promises that if you give this or do that, this will happen. Paul warned that there would come a time where the gospel would be preached for gain. We have lost our way. It's time for revival to come back. And I believe that revival is not for those that when we have revival, we think it's to bring a bunch of unsaved people in. But revival is at, you cannot be revived if you haven't been saved. You cannot be revived if you haven't been born again. The church's ground is compacted, it's hardened, it's cracked. And yet I know that the Word of God says that Jesus Christ said Himself that He will present to Himself a church without spot and without wrinkle. And He will. And so that iron is going to have to come out, and that heat is going to have to be applied. because we have lost our way. I have had the privilege and the honor to preach in a land, a gigantic land of India. And they look at us sometimes in awe, but yet I have met those pastors that don't want their churches to look like American churches. Because what I just read you from Charisma Magazine, it's true. We have traded the truth for this pretense. In 2013, October 14, 2013, an article in the Huffington Post, Why Nobody Wants to Go to Church Anymore. It reads, that's the title of a new book written by Joni Schultz and Tom Schultz, and it's a question those leaving are more than ready to answer. The problem is few insiders are listening, and of course that is the problem. Of course, this is coming from a different point of view. In a recent issue of Christianity Today, for example, Ed Stetzer wrote an article entitled The State of the Church in America, Hint, It's Not Dying. He states the church is not dying. Yes, in a transition, but transitioning is not the same as dying. Really? What cartoons have you been watching? Clearly the church is dying. Do your research, Mr. Stetzer. According to the Hartford Institute of Religion Research, more than 40% of Americans say they go to church weekly. As it turns out, however, less than 20% are actually in church. In other words, more than 80% of Americans are finding more fulfilling things to do on the weekends. Furthermore, somewhere between 4,000 and 7,000 churches close their doors every year. Southern Baptist researcher Tom Rayner, in a recent article entitled 13 Issues for Churches in 2013, puts the estimate higher. He says 8,000 to 10,000 churches will likely close. Between the year 2010 and 2012, more than half of all churches in America added not one new member. Each year, nearly 3 million more previous churchgoers enter the ranks of the religiously unaffiliated. Churches aren't dying? No, of course not. Churches will always be here, but you can be sure churches are going through more than just a transition. Study these things carefully. A council church leader within every denomination in America, having crisscrossed this country for nearly two decades, counseling congregations as small as 200 in attendance to churches averaging nearly 20,000 in weekly attendance. As I see it, there are seven changing trends impacting church going in America, and I'm gonna go through those seven quickly. Number one, the demographic remapping of America. Whites are the majority today at 64%. In 30 to 40 years, they will be the minority. One in every three people you meet on the street in 3 to 4 decades will be Hispanic origin. In other words, if you're not reaching Hispanics today, your church's shelf life is already in question. Furthermore, America is aging. Go into almost any traditional mainline church in America, observe the attendees, and you'll quickly see a disproportionate number of gray-headed folks in comparison to all others. Pew Research says that every day for the next 16 years, 10,000 new baby boomers will enter retirement. If you cannot see where this is headed, my friend, there is not much you can see. Number two, technology. Technology is changing everything we do, including how we do church. Yet there are scores of churches that are still operating in the age of the Industrial Revolution. Instead of embracing the technology and adapting their worship experiences to include the technology, scores of traditional churches, mainline Protestant, and almost all Catholic churches do not utilize the very instruments that without which few millennials would know how to communicate or interact. Number three, leadership crisis. Enough has been written about this in the past, but you can be sure clergy abuse, the cover-up by the church, the fundamentalist preachers, and the congregations have been driving people away from their churches and continue to drive people away faster than any other cause combined. Competition. People have more choices on weekends than simply going to church. Further, the feelings of shame and guilt many people used to feel and church leaders used to promote for attending church every week is gone, and the list goes there. Religious pluralism. Speaking of competition, There is a fifth trend impacting the decline of the church in America. People have more choices today. Credit this to the social changes in the 60s, to the internet, to the influx of immigrants, minorities, and whatever you'd like. But the fact is, people today meet other people today of entirely different faith traditions, and if they are discovering anything at all, it is that there are scores of people who live as much, if not more, like Christ than many of the Christians they used to sit beside in church. Number six, the contemporary worship experience. This too has contributed to the decline of the church. It's been the trend in the last couple of decades for traditional mainline churches to pretend to be something they're not. Many of them have experimented with praise bands, the installation of screens, praise music, leisure dress on the platform, and well, you know how well that's been received. It's been a large, big mistake. And then finally, number seven, phony advertising. There's one more trend. It's having a devastating impact on the church, and it's most certainly contributing to its decline. You cannot tell millennials that your church welcomes everybody, that all can come to Jesus, and then they come and they find, and then what they find are few mixed races or no mixed couples. You cannot say everybody is welcome here if by that you really mean so long as you're like the rest of us, straight in a traditional family. That's coming from the Huffington Post. What I would say is that we have a church in crisis in America. And when I say that, I can hear the religious voices shouting back at me that scripture that I've already quoted: on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you are right. You are correct. Absolutely correct. The gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. See, that's where you and I may differ. Everything we see happening in the so-called church world is not getting, in my opinion, a stamp of approval. Let's call it a heavenly stamp of approval. I guess what I'm saying is not everything that calls itself the church is the church. And America needs the true church. Do you see my point? I'm running out of time. I need like 3 hours here. But do you see my point? America doesn't need another fake church. America doesn't need another facade. America doesn't need another promise that's broken. America needs the true church to arise. And our gimmicks and our gadgets and all of the stuff we do, it's just not going to do it. If we want real change in America, real change must come to the church. And that's you, and that's me. Again, I hear all the religious voices. I've had conversations with people that raise their eyebrow at me when we travel down this road, and I think that is the problem. We have forgotten that the Bible promises that judgment will begin at the house of God. Did you hear what the Huffington Post said? People in the world are finding people in the world that are more Christ-like than Christians who sit in the church every single Sunday. I have experienced this. I have seen this. We need to wake up. God help us wake up and realize that we, the church, need to be revived. America is in trouble. We have lost our sense of direction. We are tossed about. Yes, that's why evil is present, and evil will always be present. And when I hear of things like South Carolina, and I hear of things that are happening across our country, I realize more and more every single day that it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And the worse it gets, see, I think that's another change that's happened in our country. And again, I'm not on a script. I'm speaking from my heart today. I think that's another problem. Is that when trouble came before, we ran to God. Now, thank God that those people in South Carolina, they're clinging to Him. They're hanging on to Him. They're holding to Him even amongst all the people trying to stir it up, they're looking to Jesus. But I think something's changed in America. Now when bad things happen, we run further and further away from God. We need help. I think it's time that we wake up and we realize that we can't provide this help that we need. Man cannot do this. A law of man cannot accomplish what needs to be accomplished in our churches. In our country, is what I meant to say. America needs to go to church, but not just any church. America needs to go to the church that Jesus Christ's teachings are flowing from, where there's not so much fire in the people's eyes to point fingers at everyone, where there's not so much fire in people's eyes to condemn someone, to judge someone. America needs to go to the church that judge not lest you be judged, because I believe that our faith experience is a personal journey. I believe in sound doctrine. I believe in the Word of God. And let me be clear, I believe what the Word of God says is true from the beginning to the ending. I believe it. From the beginning to the ending. And that's why when you rightly divide the Word of truth, you realize that you're supposed to treat people with respect. You're supposed to love people. You're supposed to help people. You're not supposed to have the stones and throw in the rocks. You're not supposed to tear them down. Listen, I've had many things in my life that people could have pointed a finger at me for. And some have, and some do. But I have experienced a Savior who loves me. I love that new Colton Dixon song. It says, through it all. He said, I've won, I've lost. I've had my ups, I've had my downs. I've been good, I've been bad. But you have been my God through all of it. Through all of it. And that's the experience I've had. That no matter how good I've been or how bad I've been, He has been my God through all of it. And that's what America needs. Because I believe right now His arms are open, His heart is open to receive us, to accept us. He's just wanting us to accept Him. And unfortunately, so many eyes have looked to the church as His representative, and we are supposed to be. Did you hear me? We are supposed to be. Forgive us for failing. But yesterday's gone. And we can change it today. God help us to change it today. God help us to fix it today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time. I encourage you, if you'd like to send us an email, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. If you'd like to find out more about our church, you can do so by visiting newbeginningswv.com. I want to encourage you, as always, to fight the good fight of faith, to contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter, and it is important now. Tune in next week. We're going to try to get back on track with our war against this drug addiction problem, which, by the way, statistically, it was just announced that West Virginia leads the nation in overdoses. We have a crisis right here in our state. We got to step up. Until next week, I'm Tom Sears. Well, I'll be Tom Sears again next week, I guess, as well. But encourage you to tune back in for more What's Important Now. God bless.